Good morning, everybody. Hillbean Auto Body brings you This Day and Every Day, the Mary Griffiths Show. Hillbean Auto Body, if it happens to you, take it to Hillbean. Thursday, August 6th, the first Thursday of the month. And we say good morning to LaTanya Brock, the Executive Director of the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, LaTanya.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I am wonderful. Let's talk about some events that are going on and some topics that are on the mind of people that are members of the Chamber of Commerce. One of those, we're going to be voting, I guess, in November, and correct me if I'm wrong, on this new graduated income tax. Some people call it a progressive tax. Some people call it a graduated income tax. Probably people have lots of other less nice names for it. Bring us up to date on that and where the chamber stands.
Absolutely. So officially the chamber has not taken a stand, Mary, but the progressive income tax is something definitely that the voters want to be watching. It will be on the ballot in November. And Mary, basically that is a constitutional amendment. So it will allow it to be placed in the hands of local government, and they will be able to take the income tax up incrementally and progressively. And some people may think, Mary, well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything for me if I'm in a certain tax bracket. But currently we have a flat rate tax, and that's probably the most fair tax that we can have at this time. The progressive income tax, let's say, Mary, that you don't make as much as you would like to make, and that may be all of us. So let's just say, and I'm just going to throw some numbers out, just hypothetically speaking. Let's say that it's $40,000, and at $40,000, people may think, well, if it's progressive, it's really not going to hurt me. Not initially, but eventually it will, because it will continue to creep. So we really call it tax creep. So it will also affect our business community as taxes increase. So the individuals that make a higher earning and also on their businesses will be subject to a higher tax. And some people may say, well, that's fair, and the way that we're taxed now in the state of Illinois isn't. But what that does is that puts a pressure on that class, and it also gives them the opportunity to consider, do I still want to stay in Illinois, or do I want to move to a border state, and do I want to expand my business here? So, or do I have to cut my business to expand it outside of Illinois because I'm going to be taxed in that way? And once the adjustment or the amendment is made to the Constitution, then becomes very difficult to do anything in reverse. And Mary, I'm told that this tax can get up to 15%, if not more than that, just in a graduated fashion. So it has so many implications on our business community, on us personally as individuals. So I would encourage everyone to get out there, read about it, see what it says, see what it does. We did send a survey out to our chamber members, Mayor. Quite a few responses, and 81% of our chamber membership is current. 81% of our responses that we got back, they're currently saying, absolutely not. I want the chamber to take a stand against this and not be for it. So I would encourage the listeners to really do some research and to make sure that they are abreast on the changes and the impact that this have on our economic community. So the chamber will continually to push information out, and I'm hopeful that my board will be making a decision if we are for this or against it, Mary.
Okay. So you haven't made that decision yet, but it looks like at least your membership is leaning against what is called the State of Illinois Graduated Income Tax, or Progressive Tax, as some people call it. It would replace the flat tax. The argument, of course, for it is that the people who would be impacted by it are those highest wage earners. But that, of course, affects the business community disproportionately, I guess, is your opinion.
Those individuals that we can just say maybe they won't be impacted initially, but Mary, they can count on being impacted eventually. The other thing to this is that it's also no accountability with how the funds are spent. So we have absolutely, as taxpayers, we have no leverage. We have no voice, and we have nothing to hold the government accountable for how they spend those tax dollars. So let's just say, Mary, that it didn't impact me in the first couple of years. By year three, there are projections projections that are out there that says that it will affect everybody. Maybe not in the same, maybe not with the same impact, but it will affect us all.
Okay. LaTanya Brock with the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. One thing that I know the chamber loves to do is to visit with our elected officials. And Congressman Darren LaHood, you know, it's been hard to get people together. So talk a little bit about how the chamber's been in contact with Congressman LaHood and what kind of efforts you're undertaking to make sure that your constituency, your membership, has their voice heard by Congressman LaHood.
Absolutely. So leading up to that, to Congressman LaHood, you bring up an excellent point, Mary. We are living in a space where COVID-19, our numbers here locally are increasing. I'm a part of the Adams County Together team, so we're looking at different ways to make sure that the community is abreast of those impacts that it could have on businesses. Now, there is a lot of talk about us having to roll back some and going to different tier phases. I heard the governor say yesterday that there it's a communication about if we as a region don't stay under the 8% or we continue to increase our hospitalization between the 7 and 10 day mark. So with that piece, Mary, we do want to make sure that our members understand how to continue to keep their business safe, their customers, their employees, and how they can stay safe. So the chamber will be hosting Friday morning, and this is new, at 8:30. So the chamber, Gretiv, and the district will be hosting COVID-19 conversation. We will have John Simon with us, Jared Welch from the health department, and also Mayor Kyle Moore will be on with us. And we will be talking to our business community about what they can do and how they can feel empowered in making those decisions for their businesses that's going to keep them open. Because at the end of the day, Mary, that's what we want to do. So with Darren LaHood, we certainly have been in constant contact with what's going on with him on what's going on with Capitol Hill. So we have invited him in person to come Thursday, August the 27th at 12:30 to 1:30. It's over. It will be over at Holiday Inn. Now, we do have to make sure that capacity that we are within our capacity regulation. So, Mary, we will also stream that live. But in person, we're also taking reservations, QuincyChamber.org. The cost is, I believe, $10, and that covers just the lunch. And, again, that's at 22's over at Holiday Inn, August the 27th. Members and the community will be able to come in that space. I hear what Darren LaHood, Congressman LaHood, has to say, what's going on Capitol Hill, and be able to answer any questions within that hour time slot there. So we certainly are asking people to register. It is limited space, so we're asking them to register first and fast, and then for the overflow, we will certainly stream that so people can also hear and be a part of that conversation. So we're still trying to make sure that we are serving our business community in a way that's relevant and timely, and certainly keep them updated with what's going on in this current space. While we cannot have our networking event yet, we are doing as much as we can virtually. I mean, we're still able to do in person. So we want our members to stay engaged. We want to make sure that they're hearing what they need to hear, that they're aware of what they need to be aware of to continue to do business, because we do want them to stay open. At the end of the day, that's the bottom line. We want to know how to stay open safe, and we want to know how to stay open and still be healthy.
It is a tough space for businesses because, for example, the other day I went into a Hy-Vee grocery store where, you know, in last week they were handing out masks and they were saying we want everybody to wear a mask to come into the store, and it didn't appear that everybody was wearing a mask. And it's really a tough place to put a business person in because you want to have customers feel welcome in your space. So it's very difficult for businesses to require things, and yet we say no shirt, no shoes, no service. So why is this hard for some businesses? You know, we wouldn't tolerate some behavior. You can't walk in barefoot, you know, into a restaurant. Why do we tolerate people not wearing masks?
Sure, Mayor. I can certainly speculate about it. I believe that the whole mask concern has become a political concern. It's become a thing about rights costs versus what's right to do for the community and what's right to do for our businesses. So it's making it very tough for the businesses to step into that space, Mary, and say, this is what I want to do for my business. So it is a hard space to be in, but the Chamber is, again, we'll have a conversation on Friday, but we are certainly wanting our members to own that responsibility and do what's right, because the risk is that we'll have to go back and the members then will have to make tough decisions on how they will be able to continue to do business. So we certainly want the members to make those tough choices. And it is hard because we have some people that are saying, I absolutely would not patronize a business that makes me wear a mask. And then we have businesses that are saying, I absolutely will not patronize someone that doesn't make me wear a mask. So we are really split in this. And I just ask that the city of Quincy and the businesses in Quincy do what we have always done as Quincyans and as the community of Quincy. Let's do the right thing for our businesses, for our family, for the healthcare industry. And then also, we also have to think about this whole 21-day mask that the mayor have launched, the whole 21 mask initiative to ask everyone to wear your mask for 21 days. We have our children that we are looking at that they're going to be impacted too. When it's time for them to go back to school, let's say that we haven't been wearing masks. This COVID-19 now, Mary, it's communal. We don't know, which means that there's no tracing in it. It's just happening within our community. So we're putting our children at risk. So my ask, as a chamber executive director and as a board, as a member of the ACT committee, is please let's do the right thing for our community, for our children. Let's try to get our community back to the space where we can enjoy it. And we have always done the right thing here in Quincy. And let's not stop doing that because we're frustrated with whether or not our rights are being taken away. Our right is to make sure that we care for one another and do that in a way that certainly is responsible and also impactful for us. So I would just encourage the audience, the listeners, that even if you don't believe in it, do it for me, do it for your neighbor, do it for the children, do it for the school system, do it for the person that's standing next to you. Let's just do it. You know, it doesn't have to be political. People can make it whatever they want to make it. But at the end of the day, Mary, it's the right thing to do because we want to be back, and not just back where we were, but we want to surpass where we were. And the only way we can do that is if we care for one another.
LaTanya Brock with the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. You do have a Women Empowered event that was scheduled for August 28th. Is that still on, and what form will that take?
Absolutely. We have a Women Empowerment that's coming up. It is the power of positivity. Who couldn't use that, right? So it's the power of positivity, and it will be Friday, August the 28th from noon to 1, and we are hosting that virtually. Again, a safe space to keep everyone safe. Our Women Empowerment sponsor is Blessing Health System, so they're certainly leading the charge with making sure, or at least leading that charge to make sure that we're safe and that we are doing things in the right way. So it will be virtual. So I do want to make sure that everyone, if they have not registered, to make sure that they do. And we will have our very own Roger Maples with us. So I'm excited about hearing what Roger has to say, listening to the power of positivity, and being in the space with some other female leaders in Quincy. So that's again, happening August the 28th, noon to 1. You can register at quincychamber.org, and it's sponsored by Blessing Health System.
Wow, you've got a great speaker there in Raja Maple. She will wow the crowd, KHQA anchor. She has seen and done a lot in her career and is definitely a great role model for empowering women. The Young Professionals event for August, tell us about this. Has this gone virtual as well?
We're planning to host that live. So we're planning to host it out at the, I don't know if Jared has put out a date, but it's in August. But we're planning to host that out at the airport. So we're looking at hearing information about the airport. We're looking for also being in the space at the airport, being able to look at some planes that are out there. So it's going to be a social for our young professionals, but it with a lot of information. It is a, again, it is a social, so it's, I believe, 4:30 to 5:30, and go on quincychamber.org and look for more information. But absolutely, we do want to keep our members engaged. But again, the young professional crowd want to make sure, too, that they're registering for this event sooner than later, because we do have to still honor those capacity regulations that's set out there to keep us safe as well.
Okay, social distancing is the rule. And finally, the Chamber is accepting nominations for the Diversity and Inclusion Excellence and Champion Awards. Tell us about that, and how do we nominate somebody?
Absolutely. So again, they can go on QuincyChamber.org and nominate a Diversity and Excellence Award for a business. And that business, Mary, is a business that has exemplified practices around diversity and inclusion. They have impacted it in a positive way. They are certainly committed to it. So we want to honor that business. Some of our prior winners have been John Wood Community College and Dot Food. And so those have been our prior winners. So we want to make sure that we are getting those businesses that are doing it and maybe underappreciated for. We want to make sure that we give them an opportunity to be nominated, and we will also highlight them at our Business Hall of Fame. And currently, we don't know if that'll be in person or if it'll be hybrid, in person and virtual, but we're certainly working on a backup plan for that. But it will happen. And those nominations are due actually tomorrow, August the 7th, but we will extend that deadline. My staff don't know that yet, but we will extend that deadline. And then we also have the Diversity and Inclusion Champion Award. That is an individual award for the individual that is championing diversity and inclusion, that has been an advocate for it, that's continuing to promote it, that's doing the right things for the right reasons. We know that the business case for diversity and inclusion certainly impacts our businesses. It impacts our community. It answers, am I going to stay with my organization? Do I feel valued? And it also answers, Mayor, if I feel a part of my community. And if we don't feel a part of our community, what do? We look for outside resources and opportunities to move away. So we want to honor people in that space, diversity. Now it's diversity, equity, and inclusion, but the Chamber is still calling it diversity and inclusion. We want to make sure that we're honoring people that's doing the right things for those right reasons and making people feel included and also practicing D&I concepts and principles.
Well, LaTanya Brock, you've said it well. This has been a quick visit with you over a lot of big topics, graduated income tax and Congressman LaHood coming and all kinds of events. So, folks, for more information, go to the Chamber of Commerce webpage, Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. And, LaTanya, we look forward to speaking to you or one of your great staff a month from today, if not sooner. And you take care.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you so
and
very
stay
much.
Safe.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we're going to switch gears now. Bob Wise is here with New Illinois, so we're going to learn together about him and about New Illinois. So first and foremost, welcome to the program, Bob. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it so much, the opportunity to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, because I have to know about you before I understand about your cause. So what do you want? What do we want to know about you, Bob Wise?
Well, I'm just your common Joe. I'm a retired businessman and also a preacher. I still do some preaching, so when I say retire...
You never retire from preaching, right.
Never retire from preaching. And I've managed a number of businesses in my life, owned some restaurants in the past, and just your common everyday Joe.
Okay, the average American.
I try to be.
But you are not happy with the way average America is going right now. Or maybe you're happy with average America. You're not happy with some other things. So tell us about this group called New Illinois.
Okay, New Illinois is an approximately two-year-old organization. It takes time to do anything legally, as we all know. And it's been baby steps up to just recently. Our goal, as our end game, let's put it that way, is to create a new Illinois outside of Chicago in the Cook County area.
Two states.
Chicago and the Cook County area would remain Illinois. New Illinois would then be formed and voted on to adapt to a new name. Whatever that might be. It could be New Illinois. It could be Land of Lincoln. It could be anything. That'll be up to the people.
Okay. Now, this is fraught with problems because nobody else in the country wants to give us two more senators, and that's one of the problems is, you know, they've talked about cutting California into pieces. They've talked about cutting Texas into pieces.
Yes.
And everybody has said, well, that's probably more fair in a sense, but Delaware, Rhode Island, and Wyoming don't care. They still want their two senators, and they only want California to have two senators.
No,
so
that's
exactly one of the problems.
It is. It is an issue. The thing that we believe that's going to overcome those some of those obstacles, and a lot of the obstacles actually, is the fact that Illinois has become a nationwide, if not a worldwide, household name, and not in a good way. A lot of corruption. Sad to say, and everybody knows about the corruption in Illinois. The past governors that have been in prison and are in prison, so to say, and second highest taxes in the country. And so we think we have a step up in the fact that Illinois is in such a bad financial situation that they're on the verge of bankruptcy. I don't think that's debatable by anybody. And our future looks very, very grim. And because of that, we feel that on a even national level, we'll have a lot more support to be able to create something new and something different with a different set of rules that apply to everybody in the state. We firmly believe that the majority of our problems come from Chicago and that area. And I think the numbers and the past speaks for itself. And so that's a hurdle we think we can actually overcome.
Now, years ago, we had Forgottonia, and
yes,
it was over transportation. And if you watch the nationwide show, how the states got their shapes, they even have something about Forgottonia
yes,
in there
do.
And how
yeah,
there
that's right.
was an effort to secede from the state of Illinois. So let's talk about the obvious advantages. We, the downstate, which have very different values, very different lifestyles, we disembody ourselves from Chicago, but we also disembody ourselves from their money. I mean, so how does, I'm not even going to go into, you know, because getting it on the ballot and getting it moving forward and getting the nation to accept it and all these other things, that's going to be a hurdle, and you're working on that.
That's something we are definitely working on,
What is the biggest downside and what's the biggest upside if we could magically snap our fingers and have New Illinois? And what are you talking, Interstate 80 is the boundary or Cook County
really,
is the boundary?
No, really,
it's
Chicago, Cook County, and maybe a little bit of the surrounding Cook County, that metropolitan area. Basically.
So really Cook County, not Lake, not those other, not those Republican collar counties?
No.
Just Cook County, Chicago, its own state.
And that will actually make the rest of Illinois actually more with more citizens than Indiana. And a lot of people say, well, no, we can't because everybody lives in Chicago, but they will still have over 5 million people in
Chicago.
It'll
really cut it in about half.
It'll cut it in about half. It's a little more, you know, 60, 40, 65, 35, whatever, in that area or something like that.
Definitely the suburbs, the collar counties are growing.
Yes, they are.
And, of course, if you're going to do this, I guess now is the time before the collar counties become so big that Chicago becomes so small that then it would be unfair, I guess, to poor little Chicago.
Poor little Chicago,
Poor little Chicago, yeah.
Well,
I'm not going to cry too much.
And you mentioned the right time. There's really, I couldn't come up with a better time than for something like this to happen. We all know that Illinois has major issues, and we can look around at the yard signs, which I won't mention what they are, but we can look around at the yard signs and see it that there are just umpteen thousands and millions of people in Illinois that are just disgruntled with our leadership and the way things are going. And it's fruit-picking time as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, fruit picking time. So the biggest advantage then is what you consider more truly representative government. But how do people that live in Lake County, Illinois, have anything in common with people that live in Adams County, Illinois, or down in Cairo, Illinois? There's still a huge disparity in the suburban lifestyle than there is in folks that live in Payson, Illinois.
Oh, absolutely. Huge disparity. But the difference will be that In our system, every county will be represented instead of having one representative just for 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 counties. In the new system, every county will have their own representatives. So it'll be a little different, a lot different, actually, government structure to where everybody has an equal voice. Right now, the majority of our senators, we all know, live in Chicago. Two-thirds or better of them are in Chicago. And that's where the disparity comes in, and that's where that's why we suffer. And our goal is to have complete representative by the people and for the people in every county instead of blocks like we have now.
But Cass County doesn't have as many people as Adams County, doesn't have as many people as Sangamon County. So if every county has their own state representative, won't the rural areas be overrepresented?
I mean, it's not based on numbers.
It's based on geography.
It's based on geography. And the other thing is I think that in 2020, people are way more educated, I believe, in politics and everything, really, than what they used to be. That's why Forgottentonia never made it. That was in the days before the internet and the TV, big time TV, and all those things. And people now today, we have people living in Cass County, in Virginia, Illinois, as an example, who are, even though in a small town, they're suburbanites to them. They may be a little higher paid than the guy down the block from them, and I think that will level itself out from that mental approach that we fear so much with Chicago.
Yeah, well, you can live in Virginia, Illinois, and work anywhere from your computer at home.
Exactly.
So that is one advantage. But the unique aspect that I'm getting out of this, that representation would not be based on population. It would be more based on geography and county lines.
Yes.
Well, that brings the other thing. Would county lines be redrawn? Would New Illinois start from absolute scratch? Or would it say, okay, New Illinois, Adams County is now part of New Illinois, but nothing about Adams County is changing. Its geography is the same. The county seat is still Quincy.
Everything would stay the same.
So you're not asking for a complete...
Not a complete overhaul, per se. But just as an example, Adams County would remain just like it is. The boundaries, everything's the same. The difference is we would have different representatives from Adams County itself that would just represent Adams County.
Okay. Now, real quick,
pardon me for interrupting. That's why we say it's by the people and for the people. We want everybody to feel like they have, and not just feel like it, but be able to actually have a say-so in what goes on in their life,
so,
politically.
Yeah, so the quickest way to put it is just kick out Chicago and get rid of their problems tote and total, and the rest of us are more homogenous in a sense and are thinking, once we get rid of the, quote, big problem in the room, which is Chicago.
I think so. It's kind of like the bad apple in the bushel. You know, once you throw the bad apple out, the other apples have a chance now to grow and prosper without the rot setting there, eating away at the rest of us. And I know that's kind of maybe a horrible way to put it, but it's true. And you know what? Even me being a preacher and a Christian, I have to say that, you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so we want to clean that up. And I think this is a way to do it.
Real quick before we take a break,
sure.
I do want to ask you, what about Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C.? Do you, if you're in favor of New Illinois to give us representation you feel is sorely needed, what about making Puerto Rico a state? What about making Washington, D.C. a state? Do you find it weird that if you live in Washington, D.C., you can't vote for, you don't have a congressman?
I've always found that a little strange, but the other side of me says that I live in Illinois and I really can't do much about Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. And if they really want that avenue, then I think they should fight for it.
Okay. Bob Weiss is my guest today. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and continue our conversation. He's locally leading the charge for New Illinois. Get rid of Chicago. Let them be their own state. The rest of Illinois will form a new state and we'll move forward from here. What do you think? We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Bob Weiss is my guest today. He represents a group called New Illinois. trying to carve two states out of the geographic area that is now Illinois, Chicago, separating from the rest of the good stuff, I guess, as he would say. So you've only got about 3 minutes to explain how this is going to happen, because it can happen, but it's going to take a lot of legwork from a lot of people.
It is going to take a lot of legwork. When we get to 20 counties that have been ratified for this, that's when we will present our declaration. Right now we have 58 counties that are involved and 17 that have ratified out of the 102 counties. And we have a lot of people behind us.
You mentioned Representative Randy
Freese. Brad Holbrook, and also Randy Freese was one of the supporters of the H.R. 101, which was to separate Chicago out. And we have a lot of representative backing on this. Also, I'd like to stress extremely hard that this is not a Republican effort. This is a people effort. Republican independents, libertarians, Democrats, we don't care what your political stance is. We want to form a state where everybody's treated equally. And in Adams County, as an example, our goal is to educate the people in Adams County to get them to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. We feel like we have certainly a great opportunity, and we know it'll work. It's worked for other states in the past, West Virginia being the last one. And our goal is to educate. We'd like people to get in contact with us. Now, when you say I represent New Illinois, I represent New Illinois in Adams County. I'm the chairman of the Adams County. The New Illinois is headed up by G.H. Merritt, who actually lives up by Chicago. So there's a statewide effort that Adams County is a part of. And but we just feel like it's moving strongly. The time is ripe.
Besides us, Bob Wise. Okay, so downstate ratifies this. We want this. Then who votes on it? Does the federal government have any say, or can we of our own volition split?
No, the way I understand it has to go, and I may err a little on this, is that once we get enough ratification from the 20 counties, we will declare our independence, our declaration, to the state. The state has to ratify it. They may fight it, but we really don't think they will at this point. But even if they do, we can still appeal to the federal government on the grounds of the financial status of Illinois, okay, the corruption in Illinois. And we feel like either way, that part will be done.
Give us a website real quick where we can contact you for folks who want more information.
We have two things. On Facebook, it's Adams County, New Illinois. And on the web, it's newillinoisadams.org.
newillinoisadams.org. Okay. Look for it, folks. Get involved. Thank you, Bob Wise. We'll have you on again.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.